Meeting to order for Monday, July 26th. As you know, we have been working with a rotating chair for the Committee of the Whole meetings. My name is Rich Marks, and I am the alderman from the 2nd Ward. I will be chairing the meeting tonight with the mayor's assistance at the side. So-called meeting to order, the consent agenda. The only item on the consent agenda is the approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting from July 12th.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Approved by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Singer. Forgot one thing already. Make a note for the meeting that all council members are present except Alderman Pollock. We have a motion on the floor and a second to approve the minutes from the Committee of the Whole meeting for July 12th. Any discussion? If not, we'll just take a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. That's done. The next part, item of business 4A. Mayor, I think this is for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest in the house tonight. We have the 2010 Class 3A State Pole Vault Champion, Allie Pace. Now, some of you may remember Allie Pace from last year when she placed second place. And I did some research on you, Allie. I hope you don't mind. But last year, a local paper wrote, and I quote, Allie Pace now has the incentive to come back to Eastern Illinois University next spring and win a state title. This was written in 2009. In the meantime, the Geneva Junior will be enjoying her runner-up medal. Pace topped out at a height of 12 feet in the Class 3A pole vault on Saturday, besting the rest of the field, minus state champion Megan Weller of Lincoln Way, who cleared 12-3. Fast forward 1 year, virtually 1 day and 1 year later, same paper reports, no matter what, Saturday was going to be bittersweet for Allie Pace. At the end of the Class 3A state meet, the focus was definitely on the sweet part. In her last high school track meet before heading to Harvard, Pace perched herself among the elite with a state title in the pole vault. I knew the state meet was going to be bittersweet because it would be my last high school competition, said Allie, but honestly, I couldn't have asked for a better ending to it all. Sometimes I don't think it's quite hit me yet, but I'm trying to enjoy it and soak it all in. It's a feeling that can never be paralleled. Pace's winning 12-foot mark launched her into a rarefied air, shared by former Geneva standout Old What's-Her-Face. I'm kidding, Sarah Landau. In a loaded field of 42 people, Allie, you're the state champion. Pretty excited. Your coach even had some nice things to say about you. She lives to pole vault and really studies up on the sport. You really study up on the sport? You just said that, didn't you? She's always looking for ways to improve. She's also very humble. Indeed, she is. Even though she's been one of the top pole vaulters in the state for several years, she is very coachable and is open to constructive criticism that will make her better. Well, Allie, there's not a whole lot we can say to make you better, but there is something we can present to you as a token of our appreciation for being an extraordinary representative and ambassador for the city and citizens of Geneva. So if you would please join me up front. This should be working? Yes. Is there anyone else you'd like to have join you up here? Well, you have to use this microphone because you're on TV. And introduce all the guests who are here with you today.
Okay. Here with me today is my head coach, Peter Rock, my other coach, Coach Pet Mezes, and her boy. my pole vaulting coach, Coach Lisitz, my grandmother, Grandma Shirley, my dad, Jim Pace, and my mom, Carrie Pace.
Nice.
So you guys can come on up with me.
You guys are all on TV. Coach Rock, do you want to say anything about Allie? Is that enough? Were those actually your quotes in the paper? Because usually all of us are misquoted. No? How about you? Lisitz. I thought it was Lisitz. Is that how you pronounce it? Lisitz. You want to say anything, Coach? Yeah? How about anybody else? Mom? Dad? Grandma? Your grandma loves to talk, by the way. So if I give her the microphone.
I just wanted to say that I'm so proud of her.
I'm unbelievably proud of her.
Seriously?
Seriously.
You You should be. She's a great kid. Allie, will you... actually, I'm going to invite Coach Rock and Coach Lisitz to do the honors. Geneva has become really home to a great many champions, as you well know. We've got triathletes who are heading overseas to compete in an international competition. We have your friend Sarah Landau. We have a sharpshooter. We have a dance team. We have all sorts of great athletes, but we also have great students. And if you didn't hear me before, I was not joking about this. Allie Pace is heading off to Harvard University next year to study neuroscience, which is like marketing. All the athletes study that stuff. And so what do you hope to do with neurosciences?
Just learn about the brain so far.
Well, you're in the wrong room for that.
So,
but when you leave town, we want you to know that while you're gone, there will be a sign here to remember you and to celebrate your achievement. And if the coaches will do the honors, this sign will be displayed throughout town. Isn't that cool? And you'll also be happy to know that we're going to put them in Batavia. Isn't that cool? Allie, finish up with something wise.
I really didn't prepare anything.
Neither does he.
I'd like to thank everyone for having this meeting for me. And, I don't know. When I was younger, I saw the state champion sign for Sarah, actually, and I wasn't really even into pole vaulting that much, but I told my parents that one day I wanted there to be a sign up there for me so everyone would know that I lived in Geneva.
Now there is,
and I couldn't have asked for anything better to finish out my high school, so thank you.
Now, I know Alderman Vogelsberg wanted to say something because she's commented to me that she's watched you grow up and she wants to, I think, go down memory lane.
Well, no, but just like so many other moms whose kids went to Harrison, Ellie, you could be so described in numbers. You know, all the press is, you know, six this and your ACT was 35, but... and obviously she's a beautiful girl, but Allie is so much more than the numbers and the stats are, because she's such a good girl. She's a leader. She's always been a caring person and going the extra mile to make the world better. And there's no stats for that, but you just have it all. I mean, you deserve all the honors because you're just such a wonderful person, a wonderful example, and I think you will make the world such a better place no matter what you do.
Thank you so much.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to cry, Dawn. Gosh. Who else would like? Anybody else?
Anybody else?
Mom and Dad, what do you think about your little girl?
Very proud.
Isn't that something? By the way, the signs cost $50 a crayon. Trap your check off.
He's
on the
buying for it.
Yeah, coaches, did you always knew this was possible? It was going to happen someday? Not surprising?
Well, if it was going to happen, it would be with Allie Pace. She's going to be missed next year. And like I said, you know, even though she was one of the best vaulters in the state, she was always the first one to practice and last one to leave and always doing everything she could to be a better athlete as an individual and a better teammate as well. And it was my pleasure to coach her for 4 years and
I think we need a Kleenex break.
I heard your room's a mess. I heard that's your complaint. See, the moms have the underground. She's this, she's that, she's all that, but her room is...
So Allie, you're gonna pole vault for Harvard.
Yes.
And when does the season begin?
Basically, as soon as I get there, I'm going to start practicing, but meets begin January.
And you compete against, like, the Browns and the Yales and all those losers. Like that. Yeah, okay. That's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. So you hope to be a doctor someday, maybe a lab rat scientist, or do you want to go into that field? Or
I really have no idea what I want to do afterwards. I'm hoping that I'll figure it out in the next 4 years.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure. And what's your personal best in college? Have you thought about that yet, what you want to do in terms of pole vaulting?
Yeah, I've thought about it.
But you don't want to say it because you'll jinx it, right?
Right.
Okay, don't say it. Don't say it. Yeah, don't say it. That's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Congratulations.
If you guys all want to get a picture in front of the sign,
go ahead,
by
please,
all means.
Take
yeah.
your pictures. Yeah.
Yep.
Please.
We're government employees. We don't have anything to do. It's all good.
Well, go ahead. Get your picture.
Why don't we have someone take your picture?
Yeah, why don't we?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll take it.
Well, Stephanie's
always good. Stephanie's always good.
Just push the button?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Grandma, were you a pole vaulter? Yeah,
we're in no hurry.
Was Grandma Pace a pole vaulter as well?
There we go.
No?
I had troubles jumping into the shower.
That guy don't have a microphone.
Okay. One, two, three. Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations again, and don't feel like you have to stick around for the rest of the meeting.
You've honored us
enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Council members stay.
No, Ms. Pace can leave.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is City Department presentation. The Economic Development Department, Ellen DeVita, our Economic Development Director.
Hi, everybody. Let's make it this open. Okay. All right. Last year when I spoke, I talked to everybody about the goals in the department. And a lot of what we've been doing in the last 30 months since I've been here has been doing a situational analysis. And it starts to all get pulled together now with strategic planning. And the question is, where do we want to be in the long term and the short term? And not how we're going to get there. Economic development strategic planning focuses on the vision of where we're going to go. And one of our goals this year includes a creation of an economic development commission. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is economic development, what it is, what the strategic planning role looks like, and how the EDC fits into that. And I want to thank Paul for helping me in putting this presentation together today. I think I gave you this definition last year. Economic development's the process of creating wealth. And there's a variety of ways to do it, but you're mobilizing human, financial, capital, physical, and natural resources. That should read human and financial capital, physical and natural resources to generate marketable goods and services. And how and where that wealth is created depends on where we are now. Do we have a manufacturing base? Is there any tourism attractions in existence? We're the county seat, but I point out that we're the county seat without the state and federal offices. We're in a bifurcated county, and those are in Aurora and Elgin, which is a little bit of a difference. The role of the economic development professional is to influence this process for the benefit of the community and to expand the job opportunities in the tax base. How do you do this? Well, we provide information, all the data collection, and working on the business climate, making it easy for folks to come through our process, understand our process. This gets into, do they know what's expected? How many meetings do they need to attend? What's their time to market? Those things all play into your business climate to make you a desirable place to locate. In terms of facilitating the development of the product, that happens a lot in tourism. Remember last year when we joined GOSAIC, the Heritage Tourism Program through the National Trust, we got down to putting stuff on the website, and it's like, how do we show our history? You know, we can't put Dave Olberg in the computer. So we went ahead and we filmed some videos and paid for them to at least post. So you're creating the product. But tourism products really include the variety of hotels, the range of room rates, the meeting rooms, if you have a convention center, what do you have that really would attract someone to come visit you? And then facilitating collaborative visioning, leadership, and problem solving, this is where the EDC starts to come in. We've been doing some of this work through the Business Improvement Retention Committee. The CLUE study did it years ago. I'm still amazed at, we'll be at a downtown meeting, and how many people will quote statistics from the CLUE study. So it really did focus people. People tend to think of economic development as really just building these physical infrastructures, the sewer, the water, the roads, getting rid of the stormwater, building your fiber optic. But I maintain that human infrastructure, your human capital, is really the most important thing we can do for a strong economic development future. And there's a difference in economic development. Some people, there's a phrase in the industry, you know, shoot everything that flies, claim everything that falls. And I'm not that type of economic developer. I'm a community developer. And you have to have the right people at the table working together to solve problems. Every town has strengths and weaknesses. You promote and sell your strengths, and you work on your weaknesses together. And that's going to build you the strong future. So the economic development serves the community by attracting appropriate commercial, office, research, light industrial developments. And furthermore, we serve the community by creating and fostering successful programs to retain and bolster existing business and promote Geneva as a destination. This is our mission statement that's in the budget and our goals every year. Economic development truly is more than just job creation. It's providing that context for the private sector to work in. Good pro-business climate where governmental regulations are reasonable, and we maintain the desired quality of life without overtaxing the businesses. And economic development always starts with retention first. If you don't keep the businesses you have, it's like a hole in a bucket, and you can never fill it up. You always want to protect who's here for a couple of reasons. The main one is it's the healthiest way to grow. You have less demand on your infrastructure. The building's already in place. The sewer and water is there. And most job growth comes from expansion of existing businesses. There's always competing interests, and that's where the visioning and the strategic planning comes into place. Because these are all things that Paul and I could be working on. And we've talked to you over the years. We're spending an awful lot of our time in tourism and downtown work. There's a bunch of other stuff up here on the platter. And the Economic Development Commission will help facilitate the conversation on where we spend our resources. So why do we build this human capital? It's to help us create the vision about where we want to go. It's not really talking about how we're getting there. Those details we'll handle at the staff level with input from the council and the commission. But to summarize, the most economic development programs do focus on that physical infrastructure, but the sustainable program begins with the right people at the table. It's the networks that people know that get things done. So there's three main steps in creating an EDC, and I'm going to just touch briefly on each of these because we could go for days, as you know, on some of these topics. But first you do a situational analysis, and over the past year I've been writing a document. We've been pulling all sorts of statistics in, and that document's going to be used when we get to the work of the EDC. But we've also been listening to the businesses, and as we move forward, we'll do some focus groups. We're going to do a survey. On your desk is the business retention survey that we're going to do. I'll mention that in a minute. And I see my E is in the wrong place. I apologize for the typo on the key stakeholder interviews. Eventually, we'll write an ordinance, and we'll decide how the commission's going to be composed, not in terms of what people, but who they represent in the community. That we'll have someone from the industrial sector and the medical sector, and we'll think about geography, but what comprises Geneva's economy. And then we'll get into a work plan with the EDC. In terms of situational analysis, I think these are easy to all agree on. These are our main strengths. County seat, our electric rates are exceptional. We have strong demographics. We have a vibrant business community. We have a mix of local and national retailers. Our Chamber of Commerce is very strong and admired. The hospital is an economic engine. We have a prized downtown district. The proximity to all three airports is a plus. Our school systems and our park systems are great. And the amount of open space we have with the Forest Preserve really sets us off in terms of quality of life. Okay, I mentioned the survey. It's on your desk. It really gets into four main areas. What do you as a business owner think about operating your business in Geneva? Then all strategic planning has a SWOT analysis. So you've got questions on strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And you'll notice on the bottom of page 2, we're asking them for their thoughts on all the festivals and events. We want to know if they feel that they're helpful because a lot of resources go into putting them on. We ask them for their plans for growth, and then we ask them for economic development ideas. And this, again, gets back into the networking, because so-and-so has a business here that deals with a supplier that he knows that they're looking for another location, and there you go. We make the call, and we try to match them up. That's a good deal of how economic development works. its connections. In terms of situational analysis, some statistics I could give you quickly. The database we've been building with businesses, we have 1,197 businesses. 29% are downtown in the service, like the lawyers and the offices. 23% are tourism-related. And when we say central, we're saying from Anderson to Eastside Drive. We've expanded the database to count as such. On the east side is 12% of our businesses, and on the west side, everything west of Randall, is a third of our business community. This is a sales tax history, and I couldn't fit those percentages in here. It was just too many numbers. It is on your desk. But I put 1994 just as a balance because you could see before the commons came in. So that's why I did 1994, then 2005 to the last known year of 2009. And we're staying pretty steady across each category. This is called a kind of business report, and the state of Illinois puts this out on their website, and they collect these statistics quarterly. One of the things that is notable is the restaurants. The third category, drinking and eating places, has so risen in the past 10 years in Geneva. This is the sales tax produced in the downtown as a whole, and then as a percentage of the whole, so as a percentage of the, for 2009, the $432,000. Downtown was 18% of it in 2009, and the commons was 21%. It took until 2006, 2007. You can see the commons is now pretty much on equal footing with the downtown and the commons aren't on equal footing. But downtown actually edged the commons out last year. Okay. So what's our commission going to look like? This is a description of the commissioner. We want someone who is able to keep a confidence. Loose lips sink ships. We've all heard that before. And that's the number one reason economic development deals go south. And my coworkers get tired of me hearing me say, wasn't that confidential? So in terms of business names, sometimes we just can't release it because it could impact their place in the marketplace, their relationship with their suppliers, their own business planning. And I think people around here do maintain that. But the commission will be privy to some things. So we need folks that can keep a confidence. We need people that are entrepreneurial, that they know when to jump and grab an opportunity, folks that are up on their trends in their industry, and therefore you've got the knowledge of the world at the table. We want folks that have a good handle on our community. We want folks that connect with others in the community, that can reach out and know that so-and-so is a broker, real estate developer, and did this kind of deal, or whatever it might be. And someone who can leverage more than themselves, that has a staff, that can help with a short-term task and isn't just a sole proprietor, is quite honestly a more involved commissioner. And we want someone who has a willingness to step in and help make contacts in the community. At the end of the day, we're dealing with people's properties, and they have their own property rights, but you need a connection to talk to someone. If it's a redevelopment opportunity, knowing who owns the property and having a relationship is one of the doors an EDC can often open up for the community. In terms of the structure of it, we'll probably stagger terms. I don't know, but we could discuss a maximum number of terms, so a term limit. By staggered, I mean so everybody gets on and we draw the straws, and I got a one-year term, he's got a two-year term, and he's got a three-year, and then we rotate it out. The commission will provide direction for council consideration, and it'll be a forum to discuss that vision, and quarterly meetings are probably sufficient. In the beginning, there probably will be more. In terms of who you would choose, not who in terms of individual names, but who they represent, these are the three main ways they're often grouped. And I think the business sector is the best way to go for us here in Geneva. I've seen all three ways. Geographic, you have to play that into the business sector, so you're not going to ignore that. The representational can tend to make it very political, but my concern with that is then you end up, by representational, I mean somebody's on the commission because they're on the plan commission, or they're on SPAC, or they're on the Rotary Board, or whatever. You tend to have a meeting where all you're doing is rehashing what all those other groups are doing, And that's what we ran into with the downtown partnership. So that's why I'm recommending we shy away from that type of model. And just in terms of possible goals, I'm not putting these out in any order, but these are the things that Paul and I have been working on. We've been doing tourism development. We've been supporting our retailers. We've been trying to build the non-residential tax base. We know it's going to be very costly to run utilities to the southeast corner of town. That's a big goal that the Southeast Master Plan will play into. We don't really work to build the hospital as the economic engine it can be. Annexation is a way to build tax base for us. So these are just some possible ideas. And if you have any thoughts for me, this is the direction we're going.
Alderman Singer, you have some questions?
Thank you. Ellen, do you intend to...
Microphone, please.
Thank you. Ellen, you intend to distribute this survey to the business entities in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought of the possibility of trying to contact those businesses that have left our city to get some sense of the reasoning behind their leaving as such?
We've been doing that for 2 years whenever possible. Anytime a business is closed, we call and try to find out what the problem was. It's usually been a personal situation where they wanted to retire or their market was closer or they were moving closer to home. But we always do that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Marks. The thought I had on the business retention survey is the importance of the survey to cover some of the major businesses in town. And you and I, and we all know which of the businesses which are more anchor businesses than others. We don't like to pick winners here, but some are more important than the other. And it would seem to me that if for some reason you didn't get the return from some of the more important anchor businesses, that it would make sense to actually go out and talk to them and sit with them, help them fill out the survey just in order to get a real picture. Sometimes the bigger businesses, the busier businesses, are too busy to fill out your survey.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be important to have them in the sample, I would think.
That's a good comment, and I've done it different ways in every town I've been in. About 3 weeks ago, we sent a similar survey to all the industrial businesses in town. So they got their own survey on their own with different questions. And this one is going to go to the non-industrial folks, but we can monitor that and watch for people. In some towns, I've done just the largest 100 employers. It varies. In Geneva, we're such a flat pool that I decided for the first time we'll send it to everybody and see what we get. That's a good comment, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Anyone else? All right. Ellen, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Very informative.
Thank you for your support for the department.
Thank you. Before we go to the next item on the agenda, I just would like to remind everyone in the audience that if you are going to come forward and have any questions or want to speak, that you please give your name and your address and spell your last name. And even if you've been up to the podium once before, when you come back up, if you could at least give your name again, that way the people watching it on TV can hear everything. Just talking from your seat, they're not allowed to talk. The next item on the agenda is 4C. It's to consider the draft resolution authorizing execution of a preliminary final subdivision plat for Brundage Green Business Center. Mr. Unch, are you going through that one in case you need a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Vogelsberg, motion. Alderman Piper, second. Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't have too much to say. This is pretty straightforward. It's in our, it's all worked out in our staff memo to you. It's a 12-acre site. It's along Kesslinger Road, just east of Brundage Road, between the rail tracks and Kesslinger. This has been through the county zoning process, and we are now at the point where a preliminary and final plat of subdivision is being considered by the county. Since this property is within our extraterritorial plat jurisdiction area, we have the authority to and the right to sign off on the subdivision plat before it's approved by the county. And so the applicants have submitted the plan.
Any questions? Comments? a voice vote, I think, will suffice for this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda, 4D, is consider the draft resolution granting conditional site plan approval for warehouse distribution center in the Geneva Business Park, Northern Illinois Food Bank. I think Director Runge, you can just stay there.
Yeah.
I think it's your area also.
Yes, this matter was reviewed by the Plan Commission. The Commission did recommend unanimous approval of this project. It's a substantial building that is proposed here. A little over 130,000 square feet. The building is in conformance with the Geneva Business Park Plan Unit Development Regulations, and you see our staff analysis in the staff memo reviewing the site plan, parking, landscaping, building elevations. There were three conditions tied to the Plan Commission's recommendation, and we're recommending approval tonight with those conditions.
So move
approval. Moved by Sam Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. Sorry about that. Any questions for Director Hunch? Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dick, since this is being a product which is under the guise of a charitable kind of issue here, organization, is it in a sense? Does that essentially mean that they will be exempt from property taxes?
Tax-exempt property, yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for Director Inge? If not, again, I think voice vote will take here. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone oppose? It passed unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4E, consider draft ordinance amending Title 11 related to regulation of secondhand and rummage shops in B1, B2, B3, B3E, B4, and B5 business districts. Motion for
move approval.
Motion by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. I guess is it you again, huh?
This petition was submitted by Mike Simon of the Little Traveler and the Merrill Lee shops, and there was substantial staff discussion between Mr. Simon and staff on this issue, and I think the staff memo goes through in great detail the various aspects of this proposal, and I think that the basic gist of this is we've got a situation right now where secondhand shops are not allowed as a allowable use in the B3 district, which primarily is confined to the 3rd Street Shopping District. The current restrictions, you know, prohibit the sale of used items for the purposes of permitted uses in the B3 district, such as apparel stores and bookstores. However, what we find is that with the evolution of retail and with stores of the ilk of Plato's Closet and other types of apparel stores, bookstores, record stores that sell items that are used, often gently used, this is a product that they're selling that's a merchandisable product. It can be sold at a value, at a substantial value, in comparison to new goods. Staff finds that there really isn't much of a distinction to be made between these two types of uses. I know going back several years ago, we did some text amendments dealing with secondhand and rummage shops. And the main concern we have from a staff perspective is we've got this very special character, shopping district character, along 3rd Street. And I don't think the staff or the Plan Commission or the City Council would want to see uses established on that street that would take the form of selling junk or items of marginal value. So then you ask yourself, well, how do you deal with that potential? And I believe that through our discussions on this topic at the staff level and working with the Plan Commission on this, that we've got a situation where we can allow these kinds of used merchandise stores, provided that that they are a bona fide business and that they've got merchandisable product that they're selling on the property, and that there's a buyer demand for those goods and services. Used goods that are worn out, that need extensive reconditioning, that are in a state of disrepair, obviously fall more in the realm of junk or something that needs to be resurrected and turned into something that can be sold. So what we're doing is we're recommending approval of this petition to allow for secondhand stores to be located in the B3 district, and we've also got provisions related to the B2 and other districts in the city.
Any questions for Director Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Chairman Marks. I find this is somewhat of a little, there's two questions I have. The first has to do with a slightly gray area. I mean, we've always been known for some of our antique stores. We have less today than we did when Governor Thompson was our regular visitor. Antique, refurbished antique furniture has always been a staple in our town. Kiss the Sky, I've gone in there and bought a number of gently used records, which I've enjoyed very much. So it seems to me there's a gray area between what you call secondhand and rummage and what you call antique.
Yeah, and well,
I'm not sure if we want to put into ordinance, codifying that in an ordinance when there is this gray area.
Well, it gets into some of the detail of the ordinance. We've always allowed antique stores in the B3 district, but we haven't allowed secondhand shops. And so I can only glean from that the intent of the ordinance when it was created in 95 was to create this distinction between antique shops or antique stores that typically sell furniture and there are some other types of artistic items and household items that fall into the realm of antiques, and used clothing, used books, apparel items, I think, for the most part, maybe used jewelry. And so the ordinance made that distinction, but yet it didn't define. We don't have an operational definition for antique shops in the zoning ordinance currently, and the secondhand shops were just kind of not dealt with.
This is beginning to fall into the realm of the great Supreme Court justice who pointed out that he knew it when he saw it. Well, I'm not sure I know it when I see it. And is it not true that under our current ordinances, they are all approved, they can be approved as special uses. So it's not as if we are absolutely forbidding the possibility.
There's no provision for special uses for secondhand shops in the
B3
district.
I thought there was.
No, there isn't. Mm-hmm.
So you're
there
saying this category does not come up anywhere unless you...
That is correct. And you mentioned Kiss the Sky, and we had substantial discussion about Kiss the Sky. And, we made a call on the use permissibility of that store, and I don't mean to talk about another business here, but it's approved and doing well. But there's a combination of used and new merchandise in the store. And what we've been involved in lately are discussions with prospective businesses that want to open a shop in the B3 district. There's nothing that allows them as a secondhand store, if they're selling primarily secondhand merchandise, to open up in the store. But many of these stores sell a combination of new and secondhand items. So, we're getting into almost the silly business. Well, if there's a floor plan of my store and I have these racks over here with new stuff and these racks over here for used stuff and there's more racks for the new than the used, then we can call it a store selling new merchandise. That seems to be kind of a convoluted way of and somewhat artificial way of going about making the call on use permissibility. So our approach here is to call it what it is. We believe that we've got some good definitions to work with in this proposed ordinance that we've worked with Mr. Simon on. He does have a specific user in mind, a specific store that is the classic example of this new evolving trend in retailing of having, gently used merchandise. This particular person is involved in some very high-end brand names of women's apparel and accessories and what have you. So it's...
I think you have someone behind you.
No. Yeah, there you are, right there. Sorry, I didn't see you come in. Sorry,
we got the handout.
And so she can certainly speak at great length about what she's doing, but within the store. But I know that the Plan Commission walked through this exercise, this discussion with us at the public hearing, and with the store owner, and. The Plan Commission was unanimously in favor of it because this is really a new element in retailing that our zoning ordinance doesn't really address.
That would be my last question. If this does seem to be an evolving way that merchandising is going, and I believe you're correct, do you believe that your proposed ordinance has enough flexibility in the future that we'll be able to evolve with this kind
Yes,
of
I do. I feel we've got it nailed here in terms of allowing it. What it does is it references back to the uses that are permitted by right in the B3 district. And so I think that gives us a lot of flexibility.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Alderman Hill?
I think this is a great opportunity for the community and for folks who might be working full-time jobs and not have time to get into the regular retail operations as just myself, not working full-time anymore, but looking for some presents for some grandchildren, and found in one town a slightly used set of golf clubs for a six-year-old at a much greatly reduced price, but in beautiful shape, and a bicycle for a nine-year-old. Found that in another community, and slightly used also. I couldn't find them in our local shopping areas. But I think this will be very good for the community and for people who are willing to go shopping and to enjoy these dresses and whatever else is going to be sold there. I just hope you're going to be open on Sundays so the people who are working 5 or 6 days a week will have some place to shop. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're welcome. Anyone? Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jane, that's you, I presume. I had one question. It's from my wife. When are you going to be open?
August 1st.
Up to you guys.
Good. Good luck to you.
Did you have any comments you wanted to make?
Not unless anybody has any questions.
You didn't get the literature.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll go to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Passes unanimously. It should be on the consent agenda next week, then, correct me?
That's correct.
That will be on the consent agenda next week. Next item on the agenda, 4F, consider request for authorization to conduct Plan Commission public hearing on city-initiated text amendments related to sign regulations.
So move.
Motion by Alderman Singer.
Second.
Second by Alderman Flanagan. Remember, as we get into this discussion, it's just to take it to a public hearing, not to discuss the whole matter of all the amendments. Is that correct, Director Runge?
Amen to that, sir.
I did that well, right? If you have the presentation, that's fine.
I do. Okay. Let me start out by saying that what we're presenting for further review by the Plan Commission, the community, and this body is a set of sign regulations that's been worked on by a staff committee for a number of months. Ellen DeVita, our economic development director, Paul Evans on our economic development staff, David DeGroot, our city planner, Carla Kalfas, our preservation planner, Chuck Lencioni, recently deceased, and myself worked in developing this draft regulation. And I have up here the basic purpose to present a staff proposal to relocate, reformat, and amend the city sign regulations. And we're looking for direction to engage discussion with the business community on this and to conduct a Plan Commission hearing on the proposal. I want to talk a little bit about purpose and goals and maybe elaborate on a couple of points that I think are worth getting into, and then David DeGroot is going to pick up where I leave off. But I wanted to talk a little bit about purpose and goals. First goal of doing this draft revision to the sign regulations was to clarify provisions. We're dealing with a section in the building code that has been amended numerous times over many years. And what we have found as we've been working with applicants is that they've had some difficulty understanding and interpreting the code provisions. So if they're looking for square footage or area requirements of a particular type of sign, they ended up having to go to multiple sections of the code to find what they needed. The same goes for height restrictions, construction requirements, illumination requirements. And what we wanted to do is to try to take the sign regulations as a foundation and really not make drastic changes to the basic regulatory structure of the ordinance, but do more in the area of reformatting it just so you could find your way to the requirements easier. Simple things like listing the signs that are allowed by zoning district classification. If I know my zoning of my property, and then I can look into the ordinance and say, well, for this zoning district, these are the signs that are allowed. It's a very simple thing, but we just didn't have that incorporated into the regulations. Another thing for clarification's sake, what we ended up doing to help organize people looking for requirements for different types of signs, say you're interested in installing a wall sign on your property. Well, the way the draft regulation is structured, if you look at wall signs, all of the requirements for wall signs are literally on one page of the document. So you can just kind of march your way through and know that if I'm going to do a wall sign, everything is right there on that page. And then we go to awning and canopy signs and directional signs and so on through the different sign types. Secondly, here we talk about amending regulations to address evolving needs and concerns, and there are several that pop out in my mind, although there are a number of issues that are addressed in these proposed regulations. But one of the big ones has to do with the Commercial Sign Committee. The Commercial Sign Committee stands as the only committee or commission that we have in the city that has three aldermen and three individuals nominated by the president of the Chamber of Commerce serving as members of the committee. In looking at this Commercial Sign Committee in relation to the various other advisory commissions that we have, and this group does function as an advisory commission, what we have is a set of advisory commissions that are appointed and confirmed by the mayor and this council for membership and participation in those commissions, and then they serve in an advisory role where they make recommendations, and those recommendations come to this body for final action. In this case, what we found is reviewing back through our records, the Commercial Sign Committee has had little activity over the past 5 years, reviewing less than one appeal or variation petition per year. We do feel that the inclusion of the three aldermen in the Commercial Committee reflects the prior City Council aldermanic committees that were replaced by the Committee of the Whole structure back in the year 2000. The Committee of the Whole places the responsibility of conducting detailed review of petitions or requests, be they variations or whatever, with the advisory commissions, and then ultimately the City Council makes the final decision. So our staff committee has prepared this draft recommending that the Commercial Sign Committee be eliminated. We're further recommending that the duties of the Commercial Sign Committee with respect to variation requests, that's their principal duty, to hear variations from the sign regulations, that those duties be shifted to the Plan Commission. The Plan Commission meets regularly, is accustomed to conducting public hearings, has a particular association with sign regulations, because every planned unit development, every site plan review that's conducted by the Plan Commission, they are looking at sign requirements in the context of that proposed development. They're looking at the landscaping around the signage that's proposed, the location. They're looking at site visibility lines, you know, avoiding signs blocking site views at driveway entrances or along streets. So the Plan Commission has, they touch on the sign regulations and get involved in the sign regulations as a part of their normal review activities. So that's something that we are proposing, and certainly we don't need to debate that tonight, but I do want to emphasize the point that we believe that this is a sound step to take. And thinking about the applicants, the people that we are dealing with on permitting, this reduces the number of bodies that they have to go to seek approval of their particular permit request. And so we think this actually has a streamlining effect on our review processes. Other items in terms of addressing needs and concerns, we have procedures that we use internally for working with applicants on sign permits within the historic district. You have the code review that our building division does of that sign permit application, but also because it's an exterior improvement that requires, that sign permit application requires review by the Historic Preservation Commission. So what we've incorporated into this ordinance draft is a set of requirements together with the procedures that are used, so it's clear to the applicant, you know, what's involved in getting a sign approved within the historic district. We've had a number of years of work with these temporary A-frame signs that are located throughout primarily the downtown area. And we've reached a point where we've got a set of provisions that frankly are just very difficult, if not impossible, to enforce because their permissibility is limited to restaurants. And yet there are other businesses that have a need to provide some level of either whether it's advertising a sale or lookout or a particular item or feature of their business on that particular day, they're really precluded from putting that A-frame signage out there because the A-frame signage back, I don't know, 5 years ago when we did that ordinance amendment to provide for them only allows them associated with restaurants. We think that needs to be dealt with. We've got an approach that we put into the zoning ordinance to create more equity in the way that regulation is set up. And with controls in place in terms of how many of these can be placed, where they can be placed. Under certain circumstances, if they're placed on the public way, then there are certain requirements that have to be met to make sure that our insurance liability exposure is taken away. And then finally, I wanted to emphasize in terms of evolving needs and concerns, we have provisions creating master sign plans for multi-tenant buildings. And Commissioner Lencioni crafted some very creative solutions to working with tenants of multi-tenant buildings in trying to come up with some kind of an overall program for the size and the locations of individual business signs on multi-tenant buildings in the downtown. And he was able to do that really just through discussion back and forth with either property owners or business entities or both. And in some cases he was successful in doing it, in other cases he wasn't. We felt it was time for us, since we'd been working for many years on a rather informal level, to create this mechanism for coordinating signage on multi-tenant buildings. We thought it would be appropriate to actually set up a set of regulations that if at your election as a business property owner, if you want to develop a master sign plan for your building that locates where all these signs might be located, their basic shape, their basic design, their basic size, you can do that. And the reward is if you get one of those plans approved, then you can go through an administrative process with the city. The master sign plan's reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission, but any sign that then, as businesses come and go in that building and new businesses come and a new sign plan is proposed for a particular business, we can actually work through the system in reviewing that plan administratively at a much just a faster timeline than going through a full consideration by the Historic Preservation Commission. So we've built that concept into this set of regulations. Moving on very quickly, we talked about and here about create a user-friendly document, and there have been numerous changes inserted into this proposed sign regulation that speak to the issue of making it more user-friendly. One of the things I'm sure you noticed is we've got a number of illustrations throughout the document, And the idea is just a picture sometimes says 1,000 words, and we're just trying to get more clarity to what we're trying to get across in the regulations by providing graphic illustrations, and so we've done that. And then the final points here, control proliferation of signs. Yep, that's an important goal. Minimizing the impact of signs on surrounding properties, particularly in our business areas. Many of our business areas in town have close relationships to residential areas. So that becomes important, protecting impacts on surrounding properties. And enabling businesses to provide signs that have a business benefit for them. Obviously, we're involved in a balancing act between preserving the character of our business districts and what we hope to accomplish with new development and individual business development versus the desire of the business entity to provide visibility and exposure to their business. It's my belief that the work of our little committee here, we've come up with what I think is a much improved set of sign regulations. There are some areas of additional flexibility that have been incorporated into this draft regulation, flexibility that doesn't exist under the current sign regulations that I think is a benefit to the business community. And yet, at the same time, I believe we've got a set of standards that reflects the history of how we've regulated signage, particularly with respect to sizes and heights and that type of thing, that it's very consistent with what our history has been. What I'd like to do is just turn things over to David, and he's going to walk through some other aspects of the ordinance.
Well, thank you, Dick. He actually touched on many of the things I was going to talk about, so I'll try to be brief as I go through the rest of the slides here. But before I do that, I want to make sure we thank Attorney Radovich, too. He was involved in many of those meetings, and his legal advice and historical perspective on this draft and our regulations was very valuable. I'll start off. We're proposing to include many illustrations throughout these regulations. Dick spoke to much of the reformatting. In each one of those sections that we're breaking down, we're going to include an illustration that explains the regulations covered in that section. So these are just examples of how we calculate sign area. On the left, you can see that if all the text is enclosed within a cabinet, we take the sign area for that cabinet as the total sign area. But on the right-hand side, if there is no background or cabinet, if you just have individual lettering, we take the sign area by calculating no more than 2 imaginary boxes around that text. And then make sure that, you know, the text doesn't sprawl across the building or across a monument sign. And in the current regulations, we have what we call flush signs. We're proposing to change that term to wall signs because we think it's a more recognizable term. But as Dick mentioned, we have wall signs in one section of the ordinance, awning signs in another, canopy signs in another. But they're all regulated the same under the current regulations. And we're proposing to keep those regulations the same, but we're just pulling them all into one section. And then we'll break down that section by single-tenant buildings, multi-tenant buildings, interior lots, and corner lots. So on the left, you see the proposed illustration. It just shows that you're allowed up to 2 signs on your primary frontage, on your street frontage, and up to a total of 40 square feet. So you can have 2 20-square-foot signs or 1 40-square-foot sign, and that could be a wall sign, awning sign, and or a canopy sign. And on the right, just a real-world example of how 2 signs would look on one frontage. This illustrates a corner lot where you're allowed the same allowance, but per each facade that has frontage on a street right-of-way. So, again, no more than 2 signs up to 40 square feet. And a good example here is the little owl right on the corner. It has it on both facades of street frontage. For multi-tenant buildings, again, these are our current regulations. We allow 1 wall sign, awning sign, or canopy sign per tenant, unless that tenant is located on a corner, again, where it has multiple frontages. So you see tenant A is allowed one sign per frontage, but tenants B and C are restricted to the one sign.
Oh, so it's under.
And the real world example here is Geneva or State Street Square over on the east side with Munchie Peas. Freestanding signs, this is the illustration we're proposing to show the current regulations. We're proposing two small changes to our regulations for freestanding signs. The first is to restrict the height of the signs. Currently, downtown in the B3 and B3E districts, we have a maximum height of 10 feet, but everywhere else it's a maximum height of 20 feet. We're proposing to reduce it from 20 feet to 16 feet. The reason for that is over the past several years, most of the signs that we've been approving have been under 20 feet in height anyway, and surveying the town, we haven't found any that exceed 20 more than 16 feet, unless it's part of an approved PUD or special use where relief was granted. And here are just some real-world examples. Single tenants, Aldi, Geneva Lutheran Church, and then some strip centers where there's multiple tenants on one freestanding sign. If there's any questions as I go through this, please feel free to stop me. The other change we're proposing for freestanding signs is to require the address to be displayed, as shown on the bottom here. The reason for this is to improve wayfinding throughout the city, both for citizens and for emergency services. And we've actually started implementing this in some situations. The most recent is the Geneva Eye Clinic off of Randall Road. That's actually a really good example because the address is 1000 Randall Road, but the access to the site is off of Caneville Road. So if you don't know where you're going, that's really beneficial. And on the right-hand side is just another example with the reserve, including that text. But since we're adding this as a requirement, we're proposing not to include it in the total sign area, so there's no penalty. They're not losing an advertisement opportunity because of this requirement. As Dick mentioned, we're proposing to allow A-frame signs for all businesses in the B2 and B3 business districts. With that, we're proposing a list of regulations, and I won't go through them all, but we're proposing to restrict them to private property unless they obtain a permit from the city, an annual permit, to allow it in the public right-of-way, and in that case, they need to be within 1 foot of the property line. And they need to leave at least 5 feet of clearance on the public sidewalk. And then we'd also propose that they provide proof of insurance so that the city's not liable for those signs if they are knocked down or people do trip over them. Other restrictions we're proposing is the height up to 4 feet in height, 6 square feet in area, and that they can only be permitted during hours of operation for the business. Here are just some examples that we do have now for restaurants up and down 3rd Street. In our current regulations, we allow electronic message board signs for sports centers only or stadiums and arenas. We do recognize that there's a need to allow some electronic message boards. There's a need for changeable copy where business owners don't really want to go out in the middle of winter and actually change the price of gas signs. But we do also recognize that there are hazards that could come with electronic message board signs. If the signs are scrolling or flashing, they can be a nuisance and a danger to the public's health and safety. So we're proposing to allow them at a maximum of 12 square feet and only if they're included into a freestanding sign. As shown in the illustration here, this shaded gray area would be the only area that's an electronic message board. And then the regulations would also prohibit any scrolling, flashing, any change of colors, and limit the change of the message to twice a day. So that would allow you to change the price and gas, change your daily special, but prohibit any scrolling text or messages that might be distracting. Some examples that we've allowed through PUDs include the Fuller's gas station on the east side. You can see their electronic message board with the gas prices and on the gas station with the open sign. I guess the text didn't really show up here on the bank, but time and temperature signs would be exempt from those regulations because obviously the temperature and the time is going to change more frequently than twice a day.
So could gas prices.
Very good point.
Dick also touched on the master sign plan. A really good example is Dotson Place, where a master sign plan is in place. You could see in these pictures, they all have a similar character with the two gooseneck lights above, same size and shape, but the colors change on each one to allow a little bit of individual identity. And as tenants change, they don't have to go through the HBC review process because we have an approved sign plan. They just come in, and as long as they comply with that plan, we can issue the permit. Some other examples are on West State Street, 514 West State Street, where we have an approved sign package, and 524 West State Street. Other minor changes we're proposing, we're going to expand the list of exempt signs, exempt meaning they don't require a permit. These are like for sale signs, residential for sale signs, or like the Aldi sign here, directional or informational signs that don't really require a permit. We've also expanded the regulations on those signs, though, to restrict the size of a directional and informational sign just so it doesn't get out of control where you have a 20-foot square foot sign that says enter. Our temporary sign regulations right now are very brief, so we're proposing to expand that list to reflect what we have been practicing. With one exception, right now we've only been allowing them for 14 days, one permit per business for up to 14 days. We're proposing to increase that to two permits a year up to 14 days at a time. And if they want to run them back-to-back, that's fine as well. I think Dick touched on the historic district procedures and requirements. And with that, we welcome your thoughts and comments regarding these amendments. And again, we're requesting your direction and authorization to discuss this with the business community and conduct a public hearing.
Any questions? Alderman.
Thank you,
Bill,
Mr. Chairman. David, as a now former member of the sign committee and relinquishing that responsibility, but Mr. Lencioni was very much involved in the signs, as was pointed out. Was he involved in the discussion of these changes? And
very much so.
Or his,
the entire draft started with Chuck's draft.
Okay, good. Good enough. Well, I'm sure that I could see his handwriting in some of the comments here. I was especially interested in the electronic message board sign since we had an experience a couple years ago about a local beverage sales organization that wanted to create an electronic sign board, and they were turned down because it was, I think one of the big reasons was they were historic preservation was concerned about a cacophony of these types of signs going from the river west to wherever.
And I did forget to mention that, that we are not proposing to allow them in the historic district.
Okay.
We'd be in the B1, B4, B5, and OR districts only. So it would not be allowed in the historic district downtown.
Okay. Well, that's how that one. Have you involved any professional sign-making people
at this point,
discussion
no.
of this?
We probably will get their input as we move forward into the public input phase. But at this point, we have not.
All right. Fine. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, comments? Alderman Singer?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David, it's been my recollection that when an applicant came before the sign commission or sign committee and they were refused their request, there was a means for them to appeal that request, if I recall. Will that process be enhanced in this new ordinance
right,
that you're providing?
The sign committee was a recommending body to the city council, and as we're proposing it, the plan commission would be a recommending body to the city council. So if they recommended denial, the council could overturn that decision.
And their appeal would be brought before the council or the plan commission? What would be the procedure?
City council.
Fine. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Alderman Flanagan, I believe you
thank
had some
you,
questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, David, for your input into this sign. I, too, had a concern about the electronic message boards, and I know we're not supposed to really talk about it, but I'm glad that you left it to the 12-foot square element, because I think that that would eliminate a lot of the larger obtrusive ones, I guess, that could be placed out in the Randall Road area, which is where I would be the main concern of having too many of those proliferate along that corridor. So when will we be able to can we talk about this if we continue to review it on our own, call you or whoever before the or during the public? Yeah. Okay.
Anytime. You okay. Can call us with questions. We're gonna.
I did a little bit of that today, but just in case I had some others.
I tried to hold some workshops too, which you're welcome to attend and give us your input. There,
and we'll be notified of those. So.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg, I think you had.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a great idea, and I think it's great that you guys will streamline the process for the applicants, but also. Make it less confusing, because I think just the sandwich board signs is very confusing, who can have them and who can't. So that's great. Thank you for doing all that research and advancing it to the businesses.
Part of it's a little selfish on our part, too, because it's confusing for us to work through the current ordinance. So,
thanks. Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Marks. I second the fact that I think the illumination section is the one section we would hope that both the Plan Commission and some of the business community would address. It's clearly the most rapidly evolving in the 20th century, the whole question of how you advertise your business through various signs that flash, present messages, change rapidly. We even have flashing signs in town that talk to you now. And since they're all just inside a plate glass window, they're clearly all allowed under all of our ordinances. I think this is an evolving field. We're going to see it evolve very rapidly in the next few years. And I hope this ordinance is looked at sufficiently closely to make sure that we allow things that we think are reasonable and that our business community will want, and yet we don't end up with a Coney Island or a So I would hope that both the Plan Commission and the business community will look at the section on illumination and think about how that may affect them in the future, because it is evolving rapidly, and people will find a way around it if they think it's in the best interest of their business. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? David, I had one. What's the timeline are you guys looking at? How long do you think this process will take now?
I don't think we're in any rush. We want to make sure we get good feedback from the business community and property owners. We're looking at some September dates for those workshops. If those go well and there's not drastic changes needed to the draft, we would move forward with the public hearing as soon as we have a meeting where there's time to present it.
Any other questions from the dais or the community? All right. We'll just take it to a vote. Again, voice vote will work. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? It passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the item 4G, consider draft resolution authorizing execution of independent contractors agreement with Tom Feely for building inspection services.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Brown. Any discussion? Questions? Mayor, I guess you would answer those. Was it? Was it by Hill? Okay.
Heads on a swivel.
That's fine. It was Alderman Hill.
I just have.
Let the record show it was Alderman Hill who seconded it.
Nothing terrible.
Questions?
Alderman
Flanagan.
Just a real quick question, Mr. Chairman. It just says something about reporting to his supervisor. I remember that somewhere, but it doesn't state who his supervisor is. So I guess I don't really maybe need to know that, but it just kind of was something caught my eye.
Currently, the direct supervisor would be the person acting in the position as building commissioner.
Okay.
And most of the duties of the building commissioner have been assigned to Dustin Schulze.
I heard that. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that in my mind. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Again, I think voice vote will work in this case. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Again, passed unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4H, consider draft resolution authorizing intergovernmental agreement with Kane County Sheriff Office, SWAT team relating to city's role as participating agency. Looks like we have the chief here tonight. Yeah.
Do we need a motion?
This presentation, but we need a motion.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Vogelsberg, seconded by Alderman Piper.
Chief. Good evening, everybody. this is really more or less a house cleaning item more than anything. As the executive summary states, we have had a couple of Geneva officers on the King County SWAT team for over 2 years now, and we have yet to have this this agreement signed. So nothing's changing in our relationship with the SWAT team. Our expectations are not changing. Their expectations of us are not changing, and they're highlighted in the agreement that was sent to you. So this is simply the police department asking you for your approval to sign the agreement and the related resolution.
Alderman Flanagan, I mean, and then Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a real quick, I think, question. The SWAT team, I know that the estimated cost is $2,300, but that's just for materials, correct? I mean, stuff, gear, right?
Yes, for the
whole program, though, what does it cost to the city? Anything more than that, and how is it budgeted?
Well, the wages, obviously, of the officers, but we try to keep any overtime at a complete minimum, and we'll actually have and we'll continue to keep that at a minimum. So if it is going to incur a lot of overtime, for example, if they were to be scheduled for training, they may have to skip a training day or so if it's going to incur a substantial amount of overtime costs.
So there's not really a big impact to budget?
No, not really. And the $2,300 that's referenced here is mainly for ammunition because they have added firearms training. And 1,000 of that is for ballistic shields for the back of their ballistic vests.
Which is good.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Marks. I know we have intergovernmental agreements with both the police and the fire departments locally and in various surrounding, but I presume we have overlapping legal arrangements for legal responsibility and legal liability. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that all covered in these agreements?
Well, we have an existing agreement with the Kane County Sheriff's Office, and within that agreement, it discusses other units that we are part of as well, such as KCART, which is an acronym for King County Accident Reconstruction Team. We have a member of our department that is a part of that as well. The King County Major Crimes Task Force, a similar unit that is made up of officers from surrounding agencies. It just doesn't cover the SWAT team.
So when our officers, even on just local calls, helping surrounding communities, when they go to surrounding communities, they are still, all the liabilities are still covered in a perfectly symmetric way between communities.
Yes.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Any other questions? Again, I believe a voice vote will work for this. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4I, consider draft resolution authorizing acceptance of bids for annual purchase of transformers.
So move.
Motion by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. Any questions? Laid it out pretty well. No? Seeing no questions, again, I think a voice vote will work. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? No? Next item, 4J, consider draft resolution authorizing acceptance of bids for annual purchase of switchgear.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, again, voice vote will work. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. Unanimous again. Next item on the agenda is 4K, consider draft resolution authorizing execution of easements for Pepper Valley Unit 3 electrical distribution and street lighting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Singh, Alderman Hill. Hill. Any questions, comments? I think this is pretty much housekeeping. All right. Voice vote will work again. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Next item on the agenda is for L, consider draft resolution authorizing contract with Schroeder Asphalt Services in the amount of $73,370.42 for 2010 parking lot resurfacing project.
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Brown, second by... Alderman Vogelsberg. Please? Did they die? I was going to die for a lack of a second. Any questions, comments? I think the council's getting tired.
No.
Warm out.
No.
Rest in your patience, Mr. Chairman.
That's all right. Voice vote will again work in this case. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's going to make for a quick meeting next week, it looks like. I'm telling you. See that.
Don't jinx yourself.
I said for next week. I said next week. No. Next item on the agenda, item 4M, consider draft resolution authorizing execution of a 3-year tree trimming contract with Asphalt Tree Expert Company, an estimated amount of $97,965.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill motions. Alderman Piper seconds. Questions, comments? You're getting off easy tonight, Mr. Buffington. Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Another unanimous decision. 4N, consider acceptance of financial report for period ending June 30th, 2010.
Move to accept.
Motion by Alderman Brown, seconded.
Second.
Second by Alderman Maladra. Questions? Comments? Okay. Okay, Alderman Flanagan. Sorry.
Thank you. I just had a – I don't know where – I don't think she's here. There was something called municipal taxes lower because the natural gas payment for the month was received on July 1st. I don't understand the correlation between the two. I guess maybe I'm just
– We receive a certain amount of taxes for utilities.
Oh, okay.
And
so that's what it was, utility taxes.
Actually, the NICOR payment was.
It posted on July 1st, so it's not, the June payment posted on July 1st, so it's not shown in the June financials. It'll show up in the July.
Okay, it was just municipal tax got through me. Okay. Thank you.
No, I'm not going there.
Chairman Marks just pointed out the fact.
Whoops.
No, I'm just not going to go there.
Oh.
No, don't go there. I know. That's why I said I wasn't going that way. Any other questions, concerns, comments? Again, voice vote will work. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, nope, unanimous again. Next item on the agenda, 4O, consider draft resolution authorizing execution of petition to disconnect certain real properties from special service area number 7.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer motions. Alderman Piper second. Any questions, comments? Alderman?
Still is Hill. Yeah.
I know.
I want to compliment City Administrator McKittrick because of the time and effort she's put in on this particular subject, and with a representative in Springfield. I think it's just very good that this has been accomplished, and appreciate your time and effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary, thank you. I think just so that the,
I think we all agree.
That the people realize that actually this did, to have this happen, did take Mary working with our people down in Springfield in order to pass a law to make this change for just a little error that had happened and has caused a lot of time and effort, I think, to do that. So if there's – Mary, I thank you. Any other questions, comments? Again, voice vote will work here. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Unanimous again. I like that. Consider acceptance of first quarter fiscal year 2010-2011 goals status report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Vogelberg, seconded by Alderman Piper. Comments, questions?
I have just one comment.
Go ahead, Alderman Flanagan, please.
Maybe in the future when we have a god-awful amount of pages that we don't tack it onto the bottom of our agenda, and maybe we could put it somewhere else at some other time when we have more time to read it. I kind of read most of it, but not as well as I should have or had the time to. So I'll read it again, but still, I just would have liked it if I guess it had a smaller agenda and came, didn't overload us. So.
Mine was on first.
Oh, it was. So you got moved all the way down to the bottom. Okay.
I just want a thumbs up if you met the goals, thumbs down if you didn't.
Yeah. That too.
That would work. Any other comments, questions? A voice vote will work here. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposition? No. Unanimous again. 9-1. New business? We are now at the area of new business. Does anyone of the public, sir, if you would like to come up to the podium, state your name and address, please.
My name is Art Eichmann, and I live at 924 Fargo Boulevard for the last 38-plus years. And what I had, I don't know if you had an opportunity to read the Beacon News. Somebody calls it the Be Confused, but regardless, Senator Lauzon had an article in there today concerning real estate taxes, and especially for us seniors folks. And he had mentioned that the assessor was going to, I think there was a bill that passed up something about short sales, et cetera, et cetera. But his bottom paragraph brought me here tonight, and that is it gets back to the local authorities to hold the costs down so that the however, the money counting that is involved in determining the tax base all sits right here. So my question is to you people, are you concerned at all with the increase in real estate taxes, especially schools? It's unbelievable the amount of taxes that we pay for schools. And I've been reading in the paper, and I'm sure you all have too, the teachers are 100,000 or more. I have no problem with that. The thing that I have a problem with is, and I talked to the assessor who is now retired and moved out of the state almost so he could get lower taxes, and that is that we employ a superintendent of all schools, and his wages, and I'm not trying to pick any particular person, is really almost up to the cost and payment of the President of the United States. He gets over $200,000+ a year, plus car expense. I think we buy him a car, too. And how many schools do we have? Nine schools? I think a total of nine schools. Each school is has a superintendent in it. And I'm just wondering why we can't eliminate the job, and any big decisions made in regards to the schools should be held by you people. Every school has a superintendent.
Principal.
So I like it.
Principal, yes. That's principal, superintendent. You're absolutely right, principal. But this is what I wanted to know, and I'd like to have some sort of a statement written in a paper put on that revolving sign that one of our taxes are being lowered. And that's my complaint, because it's driving us out of town. We're almost to the point of moving out of Geneva for the simple reason our taxes are almost beyond us. As senior citizens, our eminent president and the government over there declined to give us senior citizens a cost of living increase for 2 years. But my gas is going up, my electric is going up, everything is generating up except our salaries, which I don't have salaries. But anyway, I wanted you people to be aware that our older people are hurting very seriously. So put that in your budget, and as you start looking for dollars, remember every dollar that you increase hurts us very seriously. Thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Sir, thank you. If I could trouble you, just to, your pronunciation of your last name again is Linkman?
Eichmann.
Eichmann, forgive Eichmann. Me. I'm sorry, Eichmann.
E-I-C-H.
E-I-C-H. Good Irish spelling.
Yes, M-A-double-N.
Well, Mr. Eichmann, I thank you for being here tonight. Just for your own benefit, I'm certain you know this, but I thought it'd be helpful to share with those watching at home. The city's portion of your tax bill is a very modest 9%. You touched on perhaps the larger portion of your tax bill, which comes from other governing bodies.
Right.
Secondly, I would just like to add, no disrespect to you by any means, because we're glad you're here, but I find it ironic that Senator Lawson would pen an article in the Be Confused encouraging residents to come to municipalities to complain about...
No, he didn't do that. He just says your local...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he sits in Springfield and does nothing to control the budget mess down there.
Well, I'm going to go to the pork chop festivus.
Are you? Give him my love. I'm no longer invited.
I'm going to eat his hind pork chop.
Yeah, well, there you go. Good, yeah. Be careful when it shows it down your throat.
Very good.
Take a bite for us.
Thank you, Mr. Eichmann.
Thank you so much, sir. Really. Comments like that keep us on our toes. They really do. Any other new business from... From the, not from the gallery, anybody from the dais? Any new business? No? Then we are going to go into closed session on probable litigation and sale of property. I don't believe there'll be any action when we come back. Is that correct, Mayor? There'll be no call, but we do need to go take a roll call vote to go into closed session.
Motion to go into executive session.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Dantino, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Roll call vote, please.
Just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, that motion has to state the reasons for going into closed session.
Motion to go into executive session for probable litigation and sale of property.
I second that.
I don't want Radovich coming back.
That's fine. Is he now?
Chuck Brown.
Ms. Dawkins.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
There will be no action as we come out, correct?
I don't think
so. Okay.
I-8.